What's that? The windows? So, right, so we want Kufcha Samabez, just taking up this one toast of here. Gemara says that Kosova Rav Cholav Nami Asa. Right, so now we're saying that the Cholav itself is Asa. It's not like the Havamina, the Gedi Asa Torah of the Cholav. The Cholav is also Asa. Alright, so why don't you say the Cholav comes back out and Asa is all the other Cholav Mimino? So it says, Hochab Mayaskin Goshenofel Latoch Yor Rosachas. So what does Rosachas mean? It means it's boiling, rolling, a rolling boil. The mivla bola mivla lo polat. Now it's not just a kli rishon and yad selesbo, right? Rosachas apparently is itself a different phenomenon, mm-hmm. Right? So it's rosachas, and while it's rosachas, the Gemara is saying it's mivla bola mivla lo polat. So what does that mean? Rashi, hoch of mayaskinon. The Omer Rav Le'el Basar also Cholav Mutik Gosh Nofal Oso Zayas L'Soch Yoro Sachas Dimashe Boleya Eino Polates. Interesting Rashi,
yeah.
Right? That what went in it does not spit out. Shekolz Man She'Eino Noch Merisichosov Eino Polates. That as long as it doesn't stop boiling, it's not polates. Now, does he mean it's not polate, or does he mean it's not polate what it was bolea? A little confusing, yeah. Right? First, it sounds like he's saying it's limited to what it was bolea. Yeah. In the end, it sounds like he's saying it's more, it's not polate at all. But anyway, so the Gemara says, Sof, sof, kinaya chadar polate. So eventually it's going to stop boiling. And then the milk is going to come back out. Kishikodam vasilko. He took it out beforehand. Okay. So anyway, so what's the halachic material here? It's a new fact. Gemara is explaining a new fact, a fact that we didn't know before. That what? In order to have Isser, you need, in order for the Cholav to Asa, because we're talking about a case where there's more than Shishim against the Basar. So the time of the Basar is not an issue. But in order for the Cholav to be Asa, the milk has to go in and come back out. So the Gemara is saying, nothing comes out while it's boiling. Nothing comes back out while it's boiling. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Right? Nothing comes out while it's boiling. Okay. So Tosus is bothered with this. Tosus is like this. Shenofel toch yor rosachas. Right. But once it stops boiling, it's still yad soledes, and then it's still going to give time, right? Because if it's not yad soledes, and there's no starver, it's not going to do any, it's not mafla de mavliya. But anyway, so it says, Tema, the Dover near Le Naimu de Polis, the Gishanosin Yerek, the Kedero Sachas, Mishtana Marasamayim in the Yerek. So Tos says, what do you mean? How can you say? He's taking the literal interpretation. How can you say it absorbs, but it's not polate? Like you say, when something is in boiling liquid, it's only on the intake. It's not putting anything out. It's a W Yadua, it says. It's Nira Leinayim. That if you take a vegetable, you put it into boiling water, the water turns colors. The water turns colors. So it's obvious that stuff is coming out of the Yerek. Right? V'chein Bosar Shuman Nimuach L'tocho. So if you take meat, you throw it into boiling water, the water gets oily. So it's like an interesting type of a question. It's like a factual question, like what actually occurs. How can the Gemara say it doesn't come out? We see it's coming out. Upir Shabbeinu Shmuel Dahad the Kamer Miflat Lo Polit Hainu Achi He Sova Milivloa. So what does it mean that it's not polate? It means it's not going to be polate until it's filled up from absorbing. Ova La'acha Shesova Chozer Polit. But after it's filled up, then it will be polite. Yeah, so, I mean, like, the question is there anything to define in these? Is that a svara? Is that just... he thinks this? So now Tosis goes on. He says, V'chein pirusha rav minu shemaya. Sof sof ki nayach hoder polit. Hainu ki nayach mi bliyaso. That's how he interprets the Gemara. Not ki nayach me resichaso, but ki nayach me bliyaso.
It's kind of a stretch.
It's a stretch. Right. Umishani, and when the Gemara answers, she called him Vesolko, Kodem Shigoma Bliyaso. It means you pulled it out before it got filled. As opposed to the way Rashi was learning, it's Kodem Shinochmer Shikoso. That's easy to do. Vosan, now he says, now it comes out a practical implication of this. Osan Kalim, Vakaros, Hasuros, Kishimagilin Osam. Besoch yora gedolo meinichin osan mi bifnim kisha mayim roschin. So now you want a kasher kli, so you put it into boiling water. Hayam matzur Rabbeinu Shmuel lanicham shoa gedolo. So based on this Gemara, Rabbeinu Shmuel said, if you want a kasher kli, you got to leave it in there for a while, a long while. Why? Because ad kedei sheilahem shohos ligmor bliyav alachsolif v'liflot. Because in order to the kasha the kli, you have to be polite, the kli has to be polite what's in it. But this Gemara is saying it's not polite until it finishes being bolea. So you can't just throw a kli in and pull it out. You gotta throw it in, wait for it to finish absorbing, and then it will be polite the isser, and then you can take it out.
Well, according to what they were saying before, wouldn't it still be polite the whole time it was boiling?
No, they're learning literally. That it's mivla bola, miflat lo polat. What does that mean? So let's get a quick definition here. So what are they learning? Mivla bola, miflat lo polat. Meaning that what? That only one thing occurs at a time. Right? Stop it like that. Saying that while, it, or at least this, while it is bolea, it's not polate. There's only one initial action. There's an initial action of blia. Until the blia is finished, there's no plata. There's no phenomenon of polate. Right?
Then how does that answer to this original question? You see that it's polate, not a vegetable.
It's a good question. They're going to say that a vegetable is bolea very quickly. I mean, Tosis, I don't know if it's in this Tosis. Did he mention it again in this Tosis? But in the Ran goes through all the sheets also. He says the Eric is also a kasha on this shita, he holds. Because you see it happens pretty immediately. But, I don't know what he would say about the apparently he holds the Eric. Takes some time, maybe it's bolea very quickly. I don't know, it's a good question. But, the way he answers the Yerek, though, is that the Yerek was saying, the original interpretation was, as long as it's roseach, it's not polate. Yeah. That, he says, is obviously not true. Because it's boiling, and it still is colored. But if you say, no, it's not that while it's boiling, it's not polate, but while a certain function is occurring, it won't be polate. So you can say, okay, it happens very quickly. But it's a soft item, it happens quickly. But then he says, practically speaking, by a kli, you're gonna have to wait. You have to wait for it to come out. Yeah. V'dovar tamehu. Funny question now. He says it doesn't make sense. It's astounding. Demi baki leida shirza. Wait, what is that? What's the question exactly?
Yeah. So what?
So be machmir. Yeah. I mean, what? Like he has like a kasha on the shita. That you have to become an expert now. In order to kasha kelim, you have to be an expert.
It seems like he's just saying that the halacha can't be formulated that way, but he's
like. So that's the question. That's what gets into this interesting kind of a question. Like, are these real? Is this like looking for what actually is going on? So if it's actually going on, I mean, it's like Einstein says, you know, you can hope that the physics is going to be, the world's going to work the way the scientist hopes it will, mm-hmm. in the simple way. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right? Remember the... right. I mean, it seemed more like the question is, if this were really true, you would have to... there would be some discussion about how to determine the actual stage of Svia. Because you see by the Yarek, it happens very quickly. So everything is different. Now, you have to be a big bucky in this area, and you don't see any type of... it's not like something that is obvious, and... basically, you're left in a situation where everybody's just going to guess. That's not, that doesn't have the formulation of, doesn't have a halachic formulation to leave it up to your own, at least the Rabbanan wise. They would make a standard, they make a standard, like Shishim is a standard, the Ram says, a standard, so you don't have to guess. But, says, Davar Tema, to say that there's a principle now, you have to just estimate how long it's going to take for the thing to be filled up. Okay, but anyway, but Alpi Svara, but the question is, can we define? That's the question. Can we define? Can we define? I'd love to leave it open for until the next case. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, Daha dekamra hocha mivla bola mifla lo polat, hainu lo polit masha bola achshav. That's an interesting theory. Mivla bola, mifla lopa. So the first way of learning it was absolute in terms of the chefza. The chefza is bolea and not polate, right? Now he's talking. Now he's saying no. It's not an absolute statement about the chefza, but it's what?
The object. I mean, it's, what it is bolea. It is not polate.
Right.
It's not saying that this thing doesn't do the activity of polite.
Right.
Yeah. That which it is
bolea,
it is not
polite. Right. That which it is bolea, it is not polite. Correct. Of a mashahoya balua mikodem polite. But what it had initially, what it came to the pot with, that it gives freely. So let's now theoretically. What can we say over here between the difference between the two cases? How do we what are we working with? What is the inyan? What's the subject matter here? What does it mean to be bolea, to be polea? What are all of these things they're talking about? What grounds do we have to determine what's going on?
How much of this also is factual?
How much is factual? Yeah, I mean, let's go a little bit further. Let's get this whole sheet up. So he goes, it's mivla bola, mifla lo polat, meaning it's not going to be polate what it took in, but it will be polate what was already in initially. The ain lahat there, and there is some, yeah. Now that's going to be occurring when? Let's just get the sheet now. So how long is that going to be occurring? While it's rosech. He's going back to the rosech sheet. Right. That as long as it is rosech, it will only take in and not give out what it took in. But what it had, it will give out. But when it stops the resichos, then what? Then there'll be a free exchange. Then everything that was in there will come back out. Right? Now he has a couple of interesting remarks. Let's just get these things that sort of completes the view over here. So he says like this. Now, maybe you'll come up with a clever heter. And you'll say that when you do Hagolah on a Ben Yomo, and you don't have Shishim in the Mayim, right? Ulanicham bifnim kishem roschim. So maybe you'll say, as long as the water is boiling. In other words, what's the problem kashering a kli if it's a Ben Yomo and you don't have Shishim in the Mayim? The problem is the Issa will come out. The Mayim will all be Asr. And the Issa will go back in. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything. Right? If it's an Eina Ben Yomo, so that's not a problem. Because the Tam is all Pogum, and it just is nothing to worry about. And if you have Shishim, it's also not a problem. Because whatever comes out is Batal. But if you have a Ben Yomo and you don't have Shishim, you're basically not doing anything. But maybe you'll say like this. Maybe you'll say like this. That as long as the water is still boiling, so you'll say the water will go out. The water will come in. Right, and the issa will come out. Now here's the tricky part, and what? Velo polti. Did I skip it? He says, "Ulanichem b'fnim k'shem roscha mishum demayim mivla boli ha'iser shebekli v'lo polti."
The mayim is not going to exude the iser back into the.
So what's he saying? He's saying an interesting thing now. Saying you have a svara to say that mivla bola mifla lo polet works how
on both.
On both. That's a key point.
And the pot will only take in and not exude what it took in, and the water will also only take in and not
exude what
it took in.
That's
so
right.
So the iser is going to remain trapped in that water, which, fine, the water's oser, but that's not going to affect the pot anymore.
That's right. So maybe you'll say, since we say mivla bola mifla lo polat, we say it in our Gemara by the milk, by the meat, and it would apply to the pot. But it should. Why doesn't it apply to the water too? The water itself is mivla bola mifla. Right, so that's the interesting thing. So he's saying you should treat the water no different than you treat the pot. The water, too, is mivla bola, mivla bola. And what's his answer? His answer is, it's not shaykh to water. And that's also important to figure out, because this is really where he's getting a better picture of how he's looking at the whole thing. Yeah. You know. So let's just see it clearly. I'm saying, he's saying it's not shaykh to say that, not because it's a crazy thing to treat the water as a... as an equal to the pot, theoretically. But it's because it doesn't have the same properties as the pot. Right? He says, Lo shayach, the b'mayim shem tzalulim, lo shayach lomer blia. It's not shayach to use the terminology of blia, by clear water, by a liquid. What do you mean a blia in the liquid? The lo boli. It's not bolea. El shemis arev bohen ha'iser.
We were wondering,
Why
you even have that time. It's just particles that are in the thing.
Right.
You know, finding the expression, right? So what exactly does it mean then in terms of blia and... water
right, and I'll tell you the Tosus itself is not so is not the Tosus contradicts himself in another place because there is a Tosus says later that I mean let's say you had well let's say for instance let's say you have a let's say you have a pot that's milchig or flasic whatever it is right and you boil water in that pot so that mayim is considered a not bar not. Right. In other words, you have that what? The went once into the pot and the second time to the water. Right? There's a Tosus that says that if it goes from the water to something else, it's considered like a third knot. Mm-hmm. So you see he's considering it like a new Nesinas Tam from the water to the pot.
Right.
He's not saying it was just hanging out in the pot.
Yeah.
In the water, I mean. Right? So he means it over here in this specific context, in the context of this rule of mivla bola mifla lo polat. Okay, so let's think. That's basically the end of his thing, no? And then he goes another wild possibility, which he rejects also, which is just sounds ridiculous, but he seems to take it up like as a possibility, which is strange, but. Right at the bottom, Gimel Nos Neitam. He calls it Gimel Nos Neitam.
Mm-hmm. So if there was no Ben Yom HaPat, there would be no problem?
No Ben Yom HaPat is not a problem. That's why the minig is always to kasher things in a Ben Yom, so you don't have to worry about if you have Shishim or not.
Because the Pogum's coming out, and therefore it's just coming out.
Because the only time that Tam Pogum is usher in a Kli is if it entered the Kli as a Tam as a good Tam.
Uh-huh.
But Tom Pogum that goes in as Tom Pogum alone is not awesome.
I understand your example that you gave before, or the question that you have before, because can you have Nesinas Tam without Bliya?
Yeah, but the problem, what I mean to say before is, if you would call the water, if you call the Tom into the water, so the Tom in the water is a no-sin Tom by no-sin Tom. That's clear because the pot got tam from a source,
right.
And then you're treating the pot like a new source.
Right.
That's why it's called the second Nesinas Tam.
Right.
But if in the water it's not considered balua, right? So then when it goes into another object, it should just be a continuation of the second Nesinas Tam. Shouldn't consider it like a new Nesinas Tam of the water. Mm-hmm. That's treating the water like having a Tam and exude
right.
and spitting out and being polled a Tam.
Right.
You know what I mean? But here, if you take what he's saying over here, he's saying it's not shaykh to call it Balua in the Mayim. So if it's not Balua in the Mayim, why is it considered the third Maisa of Nesinas Tam?
Well, why does this have to be intrinsically tied together?
Because conceptually, you say, why is it a second Nesinas Tam? Why is it when it goes from the source to the pot? So that's clear. That's a Nesinas Tam because it starts out with the Chetzah, and now it's a new phenomenon, the Nesinas Tam. But when it goes from the pot to the second thing, why don't you just consider it like continuing its transfer? Because you consider the pot like its new source. That's a way to think about it. Maybe that's not the way Tosus learns, but that's a common way to look at it. Like the pot now is like the Chetzah, it's like the Chaticha, and it has absorbed within it the Tam. So now when the Tam comes out, it's like a second process of Bliya and Pleita. Right? Each process of Bliya and Pleita is counted like a new Nesinas Tam. But if you're saying there's no Bliya and Pleita by the Shayach when it goes in and out of the water, so why is that called a new Maisa of Nesinas Tam? It should just be that the original plate, that when it was polate from the pot, it never really found a resting place until it got to the third thing. So the third thing is really still like a second Nesinas Tam. I mean, that's what the Svari is by some Rishonim hold. When you're Mavashal, it's not called a second knot. Because since it all comes out together, it's not considered it's still considered like continuing the initial Nesinas Tam. It's not considered like a new source, a new start and stop. But anyway, I don't think it's relevant to the not bar not thing. I think it's a different svara he has over here. So let's just think about what he's saying over here. So what the clues that we have are what? That he's looking at both parts equally. He's looking at the mayim and the two things that are being cooked, he's looking at them equally. Right? He's looking at them equally. Whereas Rav Shmuel was not. Now that we look back, we
right.
see he was not.
Right. He's just concerned with the capacity of...
Yeah, because in other words, the Tosus is saying it's a relative phenomenon. It's a relativity, sorry, right? In other words, who's to say who should be bullied, who should be bullied?
Right.
What gives you the right to say, I'm the Bolea, or he's the, this is the Bolea, or this is the Polix, right? From the standpoint of the Kesayas, the Basha that fell into the milk, it considers itself to be the true system. Now, the point is like this: according to Rabbeinu Shmuel, you have to determine what's really going on over here. Who's entering,
right?
Who's the intruder? Because he's saying there's an absolute phenomenon. Only one is actually being Bolea. Right? You don't look at it like two simultaneous things. You look at it like one event is occurring here. There's an intruder. There's the milk. And that's the framework. And now into it comes the busser. So now the busser is being affected by the milk. So when something is affected by something, so now you can talk about the effect on the busser alone. Say, well, the busser is bolea. Right? It is not a polate. But Rabbeinu Tam is saying, look, two things are happening. Simultaneously, two things are happening.
Why are you forced to say that by Rabbeinu Shmuel? Like, why can't, I mean, that's definitely what he's talking about, but why can't he also speak of, let's say, like the Chalav in this case in the same way? I mean, the Chalav is, well, I guess because it's not absorbing anything.
Because he says there's nothing that's coming out. There's
right?
no plate at all.
Right?
Yeah. He's saying, no, it's the thing itself is only Bolea. It's not pulling anything.
Yeah.
Rabbeinu Tam is saying, no, it's a relative idea. Right. It's saying whatever, saying, look, when it comes in, they're both Bolea and they're both Pole. The only thing is, it's not going to be Pole what it's Bolea. Right? And then he just says, so why don't you worry? Why don't you say when it goes out into the Mayim, it'll get locked in there? That's where he opens up a little bit of something to think about. He's saying, no, that's not called a Bolea into the Mayim. That's not called the Bolea into the Mayim.
Because of the properties
of the Mayim. So let's focus on that. That seems like a good spot to focus on. What are the properties of Mayim as opposed to the properties of the Bosar? That one allows for this phenomenon of Bolea and locking it in, and one doesn't. Or maybe another way to think is just the inyan, like again, just the generalized inyan. Like, what is going on over here? What are we talking about?
Right.
What are we talking about? Yeah.
I mean, just another thing. I don't necessarily see it in here, but right.
So let's just go back to the basics of here. What is Bishul, right? What are we talking about over here? So what are we talking about by Bishul? We're talking about an Eruv Tam, right? I mean, that's what Bishul is. Bishul is Derech Bishul Asr Torah. It's a type of Eruv Tam. It's a process of mingling the Tamim of the entities, right? One into the other. Yeah. Now, that's what this Gemara is exploring. How does it actually occur? How does it occur that you have two objects and their tamim wind up mixing? See, everybody agrees there's a point where they're sort of, based on this Gemara, there's a point where they're, where there's a certain element of, there's a certain unilateral element, meaning certain things are relegated to one direction. And then there's a certain point where it becomes somewhat of an equilibrium. Right? According to Rabbeinu Shmuel, when it's satisfied from its sviya, then apparently there's an equilibrium of mixing back and forth. It starts out with a point of absorption alone. And then when that's done, then it sort of becomes an equilibrium. So there's some, logically, if you're starting out with two distinct objects, and you're going to get to, so there's a certain amount of properties of each, and Bishul is creating somewhat of an equilibrium between them. But they have to start out with a distinction, their own properties, and then there has to be a process which brings them to an equilibrium. Mm-hmm. And they're working, and this Gemara is working through concept, I don't know if you'd call it conceptually, or I'm not sure what you'd call it, but they're working through, based on, I guess, the way they understand the process of Bishul, they're working through how does it go from distinct entities to the equilibrium. So, yeah. So Rabbeinu Shmuel is saying that when it's, this is all when it's Rosachas, we have to think about that a little more, when it's Rosachas. So he's saying, when it's Rosachas, how does it go from, so first one, the new Chefza has to become completely absorbed in order for it to be polite. Right. But let's not deal with Rabbeinu Shmuel. I don't really understand what he's talking about. Let's take Rabbeinu Tam. To me, it's a little simpler. Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. Okay. So the way I see it is like this. I don't have it totally worked out, but this is the way the basic approach I have is like this. That he's saying that what's the process of Bishul, really? What's the driving force in Bishul? What's the driving force in Bishul? Well, what are the two elements of Bishul? In any good Bishul, there are going to be two elements. There's going to be Pleita and Blia. Right? In order to ultimately have the exchange, you need something to be polite and the other thing to absorb it. Right? So there has to be a giving and a taking. Otherwise, you're never going to get to otherwise you're never going to get to an equilibrium, right? But what is really the force? What's really the force? What direction? What's the force? No.
The
blia.
Right.
Wait. Which one do you mean?
The entity taking in.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Uh-huh. See, that's my question. Uh-huh. What is the force? Is it a force of plata or is it a force of blia?
Because I'm thinking, let's say you cook meat in some sort of sauce, right?
Yeah.
You want it to take in.
But how does it take it in? That's the question.
Oh, I see what you mean. You
shoot
force, right?
Into the pasta or?
So Rabbeinu Tam seems to be learning that each one is polate against the other.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right?
Right.
The meat is not sucking.
You could be waiting to receive unless you get the...
That's right. There's no force of absorption. It's not a force of absorption. There's a force... When you heat something up, it wants to... It has now a koach haplata. Right? We can give it like halachic, scientific sounding terminology. It has a koach haplata. But it has to have a place to go. Right, it has to have a place to go. Now, so he's learning like this. Where does it go? Where does it go? So he's saying it depends on the other object. That's what he's making his distinction between basar and mayim, or kli and mayim. He's saying if you have something like a basar, so what does it have? It's complex. It's a complex entity. What does it have? It has its own stuff, its own stuff, but it also has what? It also has a place. It also has makom. It has makomos within it. It has its own substance and its own structure, and that structure gives it place. It makes it into somewhat of a container. You understand? It has capacity. Thank you. It has capacity, right? But he's saying you don't say mayim has capacity. Mayim might be able to move out of the way of other things, but it doesn't have capacity. It doesn't contain anything else. Okay? So the way he looks at it like this, he says two objects interact under heat, right? Under the stress of heat. So each is polate. Now resicha, the way he's learning is resichos is what gives it the full activity. Without resicha, it's not polate to its full strength. Okay. Now, so what happens when you have resicha? So all of the mayim, all of the milk, is going to be under tremendous pressure to expand. And it will find place within the meat. Okay? But while it's under the extreme pressure, and the meat will be under pressure, and it will exude into the mayim, or into the milk. Right? But what about the stuff that is contained in the meat? So he's learning like this. While it's roseach, it's at its full force. And that basically creates what? It creates a directional force that is, let's put it this way, I can't descend too deeply into the details of what's going on. I'm just give you broad ways looking at it. It would be like if someone is constantly pushing, right?
Yeah.
The stuff that went in, he might not be able to push anymore in. But certainly, the constant force will prevent whatever went in from coming back out.
If he's constantly pushing.
So the stuff that he pushed, whatever got pushed into the mukum of the basar, is mivla bola mifla lo polat.
Right.
That's the way he's learning. You understand? It's because you have the phenomenon of the basar containing space, and there's a pressure of the mayim or of the cholov under resichos, this is the way I was trying to work it out. Under the force of resicha, each thing works independently as its own force of plata. But now you're going to have a constant force of plata pushing the milk into the capacity of the basra.
Right.
While it's still rosachas, it never stops that action.
Right.
So that it creates a phenomenon of nivla bola miflat lo polat. Okay? But once it loses the level of resichos, now in terms of the force, now the forces equalize. Now they work as a unified entity. And you don't consider one an object against the other anymore. Because after it's down to the level of lowered, after it's come down from resichos, now, in some sense, the pressures equalize. So whatever went in is now free, does not have the constant to settle down into a state of equilibrium. So the way he's learning is that the bishul, the resichos, is like the ultimate. Each one is energized to its full capacity, and it creates a constant unlimited. Let me put it this way. I'm a little hesitant to talk about it this way, but I look at it like this. Maybe this is wrong, but I look at it like this. Let me ask you a question. Let's say, I mean, the reason why I'm hesitant is because it's very physical, okay? But let's take the capacity of the basra, right? Now, what happens? You used to be an engineer, right? So what happens if you have a balloon, right? And you blow air into it, right? So the balloon will expand to accept the air, but it will also exert a force back at you, right? The expansion of the balloon. Now, when you blow in the next blow, you're gonna have to blow harder. Maybe. I mean, that's a little complex because the material stretches, so it's not as elastic as it was. But in theory, now you have to overcome the counterforce that was there initially.
Right.
That's there in the air. So at a certain point, when it's bolea, it's also exerting a counterforce back on it. When it's mala resichos, that's an unlimited force. So it doesn't matter. As long as the meat doesn't explode, you'll be all right. but it creates a constant force of the milk into the meat. But when it reduces its resichos, now the built-up counterforce that was in the meat itself allows whatever was bolea to come back out. You understand?
Yeah.
Now you can have a constant. Now the pressures sort of equalize.
Right.
So you're starting out with nothing. So there's no pressure in the meat, and there's nothing. But once you start cooking the milk, so now there's a pressure of the milk that pushes it into the meat. But that creates a counter pressure in the meat to push the milk out. But while it's mala resichos, that means that the pressure of the polate is always is unlimited. So an unlimited pressure of the polate will never cede to the counter pressure of the basra. Now, it's because the basra is going to be a polate, whatever it exuded, not mikoch atzmo as being polate its own tam,
right.
but because the mokum is so full, it's under stress, it's under pressure, and it causes the counter pressure to come back out. But while it's mala resichos, the pressure of the milk going in is unlimited. And it will never cede to the. It will never allow any counter, anything that was already balua to come back out.
Right.
But once it's noch meresichosav, now it allows the counter pressure to express itself.
Right.
And now you'll get a mixture of whatever went in will come back out, and some will go in, and some will go out. It'll be a continuous equilibrium.
So this really does leave us with two different. Ideas of two different types of plata. I mean,
that's correct.
Right.
Exactly right. That's why you can distinguish.
Right.
That's mivla bola miflat lo polat masha bola kvar.
Right. That's a different phenomenon.
A different phenomenon.
Right.
That phenomenon only exists because of the artificial pressure of the blia itself,
right.
Of what it was bolea from the other thing itself.
Right.
But as long as it's rosachas, it can't overcome the extreme of the other things Plato. When it's noch merusichosav, now it can find, now the system can find some equilibrium of a give and take of expansion and contraction. You understand? But that's why he says it's not shaykh to say that's going to happen by water. When something goes into water, it's not shaykh to say something like that. And that's why he also says it's not shaykh to say that it will just not give back what it took out. That's just like a ridiculous kind of an idea. The equilibrium part means it's going to be like an exchange. Maybe it'll be polate enough to give a little bit of to cause a little bit of a pressure, but then it'll come back out. It'll become like, let's put it this way, at the equilibrium part, it's like the makom of the basar is just in a certain steady state, and now all the rotave is just cycling through it like any other. It's like it opened up a channel and it's cycling through any, like any other thing. Just the natural motion of the resichos of all the rotave. And it's not like any more like contraries that are putting pressure on each other. The resichos makes each one like a contrary putting pressure on each other. When it's noch merusichos of whatever available space there is, that's the motion of all the time.
So it's not just the reducing of pressure.
It is, because once it has to reduce the pressure to reach an equilibrium. The equilibrium can't exist when each one is in a state of being an ultimate polate. When each one has an unlimited capacity of plata, they can't reach an equilibrium. They're always just going to be connected to each other. Noch merusichosav allows for some equilibrium.
I'm saying, when the pressure is reduced, right? If they reduce equally, then isn't it just going to be the same thing of the plate against the other one? It's going to be the same, you know, whether it's high pressure or low pressure, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, it seems more of like it's just not choosing
I don't have a perfect way of explaining that. I'm still just a little sketchy in my mind. But the first way, I understand the first way. Your question is when it's noch merusichosav. So then I'm just saying it's not an unlimited pressure in different directions. It's somewhat of an equilibrium.
When you say equilibrium, you really are referring to the fact that it's not contrary.
Right.
Acting.
That's right.
You know.
It's not like the milk is just driving into the makom of the basar as hard as it can, and the basar is just exuding as much as it possibly can.
Right. So what's happening?
So what's happening is that the milk will go where it freely can go, and the basar will go where it freely can go. It
becomes like a permeable membrane.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that there's each of them.
It's like a swirl. It'll be like, in my mind, it's sort of like. Like swirling.
Yeah, I picture that also.
You know, you can't say swirling if there's a constant. If you expand the buster in your mind to look at it like a giant, channel with water rushing in and out. So if there's a constant pressure of water, you're just going to get a backup of pressure. But systems are extremely complex. Nobody knows. it's chaotic. But it created. But left to a somewhat natural state, you get some chaotic motion of swirling, of mixing, and Tom will come in and out.
So it's just that there's not really any pressure.
That's all right. I can't go into exactly how it works without the pressure. But I can say the pressure prevents. All I can say is the pressure of the resichos. That's why it's totally on resichos. The pressure of resichos is going to prevent the plata of what was balua. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the way Rabbeinu Tam learns. Rabbeinu Shmuel, he sounds like he's learning like the one that comes in has to become fully affected before it can become equalized. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the svara. It's a difficult svara. The Ramban, just so you should know, has a totally different svara. He says there's no kasha from milk to kashering kalim. He holds everything has its own nature. Mm-hmm. There's no one rule. You're making a big mistake, he holds, if you look at this Gemara and you try to deduce what would happen when you kasher the kli. Says kalim and mayim are different. Mayim is only he holds the mice so that you could kasher kalim without shishim. He holds the nature of mayim is it makes the thing immediately be polite.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Milk and meat act differently. Because everything has its own way of working. You can't like universalize. I'm not sure if he holds that lemaisa to really be matir, the kashering the kalim in less than shishim, but he holds al pisvara. It makes sense to say the kind of big nafkamina, can you kasher a kli in other liquids?
Right.
So Ramban holds you can't, because only mayim has that quality of being polate, of causing kalim to be there. But the other rishonim will be mekel. All right. So. I'm not sure if I succeeded exactly, but I'm not sure. I have to think about this. It's interesting. It's interesting. Like, I'm not sure what the machlokas. I can't say in time to say what the machlokas brings from Shmuel is. That's very hard. That's very hard. But I can understand in time because he's taking. It's like he's reducing it to a phenomenon. It is somewhat of a. It's like conceptualizing what's happening.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Right. What I'm pleased with is where does resicha come in?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why is that even all you normally have is kli rishon yatzal lettuce. What's resichos? Right. So you see, resichos is necessary. That's why when you kasher kli, they always insist on it's resichos, because that's what really causes the full action. Now you need the kli to be really a polate. Lagamri,
right.
Not just mixing with the mayim in the pot.
Right. And